Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Chase William DeMace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app as well. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason with you. Willie Donick is out today. He's in New York for the NHL broadcast meetings. Real quick, we've been wall-to-wall Titans, and we're going to continue that conversation. Clark Lee, Vanderbilt football coach, going to join us at the bottom of the hour. But shout-out to P.K. Subban, calling it a career. Was great to deal with when he was here in Nashville. But a trailblazing player, but announcing his retirement today. So we'll have more on that, of course, as we go along throughout the week. But just want to give props to old Subby Dooby.
I'm sure we'll see him again on television somewhere.
There's no doubt. Yeah, that is definitely his career. All right, before you and I duke it out a little bit, let's go back to the phone, 615-737-1025. Matt wants to weigh in on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in, Matt.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Yes. Oh, yeah, what's up, man? It's my first time on here, man.
Oh, well, welcome in.
So I got three things, if I can talk about three quick points.
My first point is what I
was talking about earlier was the draft, stuff like Chance, like people like Chance Womack, Jack Conklin, you know, Panda, people like that. That's going to hurt us now, as you can see in the O-line.
I don't know about Chance Womack, but I agree with you on Jack.
I forgot
Conklin.
About Chance Womack. That was so long ago. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
And then my second point is when y'all was talking about adapting to the players, I feel like we as a Titan organization, we don't never adapt to anything, and we aren't trying new things. We try to run dead. We ran Derrick Henry 2 years in a row down people's throats. At this point, I feel like we need to throw wrinkles, as in everybody else. Think about it. All the good teams that get far throw wrinkles. The Chiefs. Nobody's seen offense do what they did with Tyreek Hill. Nobody's seen an offense do what certain offenses do. So I feel like we needed. Nobody's seen an offense do what people like San Francisco has done with Debo. You know, I feel like we need to throw different things. Like Hassan Haskins, I feel like he needs more carries. That's just honest my opinion. Third is the Titans organization. I feel like we never sell out for anything. We haven't truly sold out for, like, you know. Are we a defensive team? Are we an offensive team? If we're a running team, we need to go get an offensive lineman. Like Armstead, we should have went to go get him. I feel like we need to go ahead and start selling out and start letting know, you know, what type of team we are. We sold out on King Henry, but we need everything else as a team game. But that's just all I wanted to say.
All right. Appreciate it, Matt. Good call. All right. So a couple things there. I think selling out, like, I take that as what is the identity. Mm-hmm. Now, the identity of this team, and really has been since you played here, was they're a run-first team.
They're run-first, play great defense.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they are. So I think that is still pretty much established. Mm-hmm. Now, his second point of, you know, throwing some wrinkles in the offense, I think goes back to the conversation we were just having. Mm-hmm. I think Todd Downing would love to do that, but he doesn't have the horses. I mean, you don't have those guys yet. And the players that I think he's tried to use, you know, Chigakonkwo with the end around, and we've beat that tool, you know, but you got to execute better. Lawan's got to get his blocks and all that to make that work. But that's a rookie that you're asking to do something that maybe he's not ready to do. Mm-hmm. All right. So that's part of it. Treylon Burks, he's a rookie. You're trying to get him, you know, acclimated to the offense, adapt to his skill set, wanting him to finish practice and everything. We've seen all that, but I like what I've seen so far. Phillips is a rookie that's made mistakes on special teams. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's not a role for him. Maybe he doesn't need to be the punt returner because you did it. it got you a lot of opportunities, but you were really good at it because you adjusted to it and knew what to do. So I just think wrinkles in the offense – this roster isn't ready for that yet. And I don't know if this roster will be ready for that. That's what we've spent the last hour talking about. But something that you – and go ahead and respond to that, and then I'll have something that you
No,
said.
I mean, he made some Carla made some good points. You know, this team, we know what they want to be. We know what they have been. Run first offense. That's what this organization is built for. All the way to Earl Campbell to now Derrick Henry. Run the football, play tough physical football, play really good defense. Yeah, we'll throw the ball, but our main thing is to run the football. So that is the identity. But within that identity, you, in order to, you know, go out and you know, show that identity, all parts and pieces must be working. Everybody must be on the same page. I can't have this so-called dominant running back without a dominant offensive line or a good offensive line.
Bingo.
I can't have a good offensive line and my running back can't find holes. He's running around with blinders on. So yeah, both of them.
I don't
go
care
together.
How great yeah. he is. If he doesn't have the holes to run you know, through,
that's what
do you
I
expect?
Said, that's what I said. Go back to 2017-18 when he wasn't the king. And he was getting stopped in the backfield before he can go. And everybody blamed it on Derrick Henry. Then they upgrade. That offensive line started to gel. They started to get a little confident.
A little swagger.
Yeah. And then you started to see that offensive line push people around. And Derrick Henry, if he didn't find a hole, he made a hole. Now they've reverted back to 17 and 18. Now he can't even get started half the time. People are in the backfield before he even get a chance to make a cut or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
People are on him, and that's tough for him. So you can't have a dominant running back without a really good offensive line.
Right.
You know, so I think both of those, the offensive line and the running back goes hand in hand. And Derrick Henry is suffering because of that. And the bad part about it is people are going to look at, oh, the injury. He slowed down. Not really. No, he hasn't. That offense has gotten worse. The offensive line has gotten worse. Year by year, they've
yeah.
gotten worse.
Well, Kevin on our text line had a really good – Kevin's been funny today, mm-hmm. and appreciate you listening. He said if they put that same offensive line out there next week, they could call Bill Walsh and Joe Montana, and they'd still get beat. I mean, I think there's
– Yeah, not, there's now it will be minus Taylor Lewan, probably,
yeah.
if he can't go. Depending on what the diagnosis is. If he can't go, now you're really putting a bind.
Right.
You know?
Here's where I'm going to push back on you a little bit on something that you said in the last segment, and that is that the team didn't have fight. I disagree. I do think that mm-hmm. they've had fight in mm-hmm. them. Now, have they made mistakes? Did they let the Giants stay in it till the very end and that got them beat?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. But even last night, I mean, you go well into the second quarter, almost to the half. I mean, well, at the half, it was 17-7. I mean, they're still in the game mm-hmm. at that point, being down by 10 points. They had fight. They came out in the third quarter, and Buffalo went to another gear that, quite frankly, the Titans just don't have. So I don't think that's not having fight. I mean, I definitely think they have that. It's just, again, I go back to this phrase, saying this. They didn't have the horses to execute it. Mm-hmm. They have in their head what they want to do, but they can't do it. That's where I think they had the will and the fight, just not the ability.
There's some truth to that. But, okay, you got two fighters walking the ring. Say Mike Tyson and Tony Tubbs. I don't know. I'm going way back.
Tony Tubbs.
I don't know. Say another fighter, whatever two fighters you want. You throw them in the ring, and you know one fighter comes out and he's boom, boom, boom. You know he's sticking to his technique. Boom, jab here, but jab here, and that other fighter is just swinging. They don't know what they're swinging for. They're just swinging. Hopefully, they're hoping they can get that one punch that just hits. That to me, that's the Titans. Right now, it seems like they're just swinging to be swinging, and everybody else is fighting a technical fight. And the Titans are looking for that one knockout punch. At least last night, that's how it was. They're just looking for that one knockout
punch.
The big
play, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm talking about this
it's like me betting.
From the second half of the Bills get, meaning a Giants game, to the end of the Bills game. Instead of, you know, their corner man, Vrabel, he's saying, stick with the jab. Stick with the jab. Hands up. Stick with the jab. Uppercut. He's leaving himself open. Uppercut. Hit him in the gut. Okay. Then they go back out there and they just start swinging crazy. Well, if you're not doing what the coach is asking you to do,
right,
you're going to lose, especially against a fighter that is a technical fighter that is going to, that's going to expose every weakness that you're showing them. The Buffalo Bills exposed every weakness last night that the Titans had. Yep. The New York Giants exposed every weakness that the Tennessee Titans had the second half. The Titans got to do something moving forward. They're going to have to do something moving forward. They're going to have to get back to what had this team winning ball games, especially close ball games. I said this after the Bills game, I mean after the Giants game, and I'm saying after the Bills game, and if they lose again, I'm going to say it again. This team isn't good enough to play as an individual. Repeat myself. This team isn't good enough for particular players to play as individuals. I'm going to say it one more time because usually after the third time, that's when you get it. This team isn't good enough for individuals to take it upon themselves to do their own job. They're not that good anymore.
Listen.
Okay?
Nice.
So, in order to get back to your winning ways, Titans, you must realize that and you must get back to that. Everybody do their job. Stick to your assignment offensively and defensively. And then you will start winning ball games. But again, this team I don't think is good enough the way it's constructed at this moment to play freelance football and to do things opposite of what Vrabel and that coaching staff is asking you to do. They know it. I mean, the coaching staff knows it. Now the players got to realize it. You said Vrabel sounded humble in that press conference. Well, those players needed to be humble after this game too and realize,
and
listen, the only way we're going to win is if everybody does their job. That's the only – we're not good enough for guys to just be doing their own thing.
Do your job. I'm going to call an audible.
Yes.
I think because really I haven't thought of one, a trivia question. We'll do two tomorrow and have two winners tomorrow. That's what we'll do.
I like that.
So we'll continue this discussion and take your call, 615-737-1025. Thomas, you'll be first up. Coming up next, Chase Willie and D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game. 615-737-1025, taking your reaction to the Titans' 41-7 loss to the Buffalo Bills. The Raiders up this Sunday at Nissan Stadium. And it's a quick turnaround, but sometimes that's a good thing after a loss like that. Be sure to play Silly Underdog Picks today. Pick three football underdog teams you think will win this week for a chance to win great prizes. Play now at thegamenashville.com or on the 1025 The Game app. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason here with you. And taking your calls and your texts. Jeff on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, seems like every time a consensus is formed, that success begins with the O&D line, and that must be built first for a winning team. A movement always seems to take hold in the organization, and they need a new receiver and quarterback, and we continue to struggle to reach the playoffs in a bad division each year. Well, I don't think they've struggled to reach the playoffs. I mean, they've been pretty consistent in that department. They did just win back-to-back divisions, but I see what he's saying. I mean, and look, if this team – let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
If this team had the same quarterback, running backs, obviously Derrick Henry's part of that, same receiving core, same tight ends with Hooper, but they had a just – bona fide brick wall of an offensive line. What does it look like? Same skill pieces, but a legit offensive line.
Well, it will look it would look a lot different because then they could run the football. This team is run, play action. They want to hit those intermediate routes. They want to hit those in routes, those out routes. And then, you know, all of a sudden they draw you in and then they hit you over the top with a big play. Well, they can't hit you over the top on a consistent basis because the offensive line is not going to hold up that long. And they're not getting enough in the run game to where they can play action and consistently hit those intermediate routes. Now, people are going to respect Derrick Henry no matter what. Because one thing you don't want to happen, opposing teams, is for him. It's for you to say, you know what, we don't have to worry about Derrick anymore. Let's just play, you know, just play base defense or whatnot. Then all of a sudden Derrick Henry starts filling himself and he starts going. Now it's hard to stop him. So teams are always going to respect Derrick Henry's ability to take over a game. But if the offensive line is not doing their job, if they're allowing penetration before Derrick Henry can even get up the field or Hassan Haskins can get up the field, then it's going to make their job a lot harder. Now teams are going to pin their ears back because now it's, you know, second and 10, second and 13, second and 14, whatever the case may be. And now teams are going to pin their ears back and they're going to go after quarterback, which makes it even worse because now not only are you an okay, you're an okay run blocking team, but you're not a good pass blocking team. Mm-hmm. And it showed up in the last two games.
And that's where you got to be great around him. I mean, look, Cincinnati has yet to address their offensive line. Mm-hmm. They're going to get an MVP caliber quarterback in Joe Burrow killed.
Well, they thought they did, but
haven't. Yeah. And they're 0-2 as well. But, you know, I look at last year. He got hit more than anything. He got sacked 9 times in their win over the Titans mm-hmm. in the playoffs. But I think Joe Burrow is a better quarterback than Tannehill. I think Joe Burrow is in that elite category, and this goes into what Vrabel said of you got to be great around Tannehill. The offensive line isn't. If I snap my fingers and I go back to the year 2000 and I kidnap Brad Hopkins, Bruce Matthews, Kevin Long, Benji Olsen, and Fred Miller, and I bring them back here, we're having a different conversation right now because that was a damn good offensive line.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and it all starts with, you know, whether the offensive line or the defensive line. If you got a really good defensive line, it makes those secondary players a lot better. Your linebackers can flow a lot different when that front four is really good. This goes for the defensive. I mean, the offensive line, that front five is good. Things happen a little bit different. Now, here's the difference between Joe Burrow and Ryan Tannehill. Listen, I think Ryan can make all the throws that Joe Burrow make. I mean, I'm not saying he's on Joe Burrow's level, but if you just sit there and say, okay, make this throw, you know, Ryan can make those throws. It's just now his decision making, that's different from what Joe Burrow's decision making is. But here is the biggest difference. Yes, their offensive line isn't great in Cincinnati, just like the Titans' offensive line isn't great. But they got T. Higgins, they got Boyd, and they got Jamar Chase. They got three. They got three bona fide guys, like three studs, three of them. And then not even talking about mixing in the backfield, they got three studs that can get off the line very quickly. And Joe Burrow, he proved to you he doesn't need – we don't like him. They don't like him to get hit, but he doesn't need 4 seconds to throw the ball.
Right.
Because those guys get open quickly.
Right.
Okay, let's talk about the Titans. If the Titans had Jamar Chase, A.J. Brown, and Corey Davis, Ryan Tannehill doesn't need a stout offensive line.
I'll take Corey Davis out and put Treylon Burks in.
Oh, Treylon Burks. It doesn't matter. But what I'm saying is those are playmakers.
Yeah. And I would even argue with you that if they had kept A.J. Mm-hmm. and still drafted Treylon, which they probably could have.
They still had a playmaker.
And so then you go A.J. Woods, Treylon. I mean, that's a pretty good receiving core.
That takes – You can't then pile up on Derek all the time.
Yeah.
Because AJ's going to make you pay. Treylon eventually is going to make you play. And Robert Woods is going to be that steady veteran guy that catches all those intermediate routes. So now you don't need to have the greatest offensive line in the world. But when you don't have those pieces, yeah, that offensive line needs to be almost flawless.
I agree with that. We will, Brent, give us a call back after Clark Lee, and we'll get to you. Clark Lee, Vanderbilt football coach, going to join us here in just a few minutes. But from Nashville to Knoxville and all around the country, Superbook Sports is your place to wager this football season. Hey, you don't need to be at the game to enjoy football this fall. Just download the Superbook Sports app or visit superbook.com and start placing your bets now. Right now, Superbook has lines up for every pro football game for the rest of the season, plus which team will win the title, who's your MVP, and who will surprise in the SEC. Wager all that and more right now at Superbook Sports. Along with football, Superbook accepts wagers on every other major sport. So bring Vegas to the palm of your hands. Love Vegas. And now Superbook will match 100% of your first bet up to $1,000, no matter if the bet wins or loses. I did it. It's awesome. Get in the action right now with Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 800-889-9789. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. We hope to catch up with Clark Lee, Vanderbilt football coach, here in just a second. I believe he's calling in. But Bavarian Beer House, Nashville's only authentic German beer hall, is a place full of fun, food, music, and most importantly, beer. Enjoy a traditional German bratwurst, schnitzel, giant pretzels, and more in an Oktoberfest-inspired space. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals now to get a $50 gift card for only $25 to Bavarian Beer House while supplies last. Let's go to the phone line and say hello to Vanderbilt football coach Clark Lee, who joins us now for his weekly visit. Coach, you're 3-1. How you feeling?
How about those Commodores?
Love it.
Feeling good. I, you know, listening to that talk about schnitzel got me a little hungry, honestly.
I know.
It's lunchtime around here, so. No, we're good. Obviously, I was pleased with the effort Saturday. It's never going to be as easy as you'd like. I thought we had the boys stayed in the fight. They found their counterpunch. You know, we talked about so much about dictating the energy on the field. We had a chance to actualize that Saturday, and got a win on the road, and so I thought it was a game that, again, there's a lot of learning embedded in it, but you know, we can certainly build on it moving forward.
So you know, watching the game, and you go and you look at the numbers. AJ has a really nice game, 4 touchdowns. But you know, what are some things that you've seen out of him now that you know he's been getting more playing time? He helps lead your team back in the second half with a 21-point third quarter. But kind of, what are some things that have popped out to you as he goes through the process as a young player?
Well, first of all, I thought he handled himself really well, and I thought he led our offense really well, and was pleased with that. Independent of the outcome, you know, we wanted to sustain drives, we wanted to get the receivers involved, we wanted to open up the run game by being able to get the ball on the perimeter, and those things were accomplished. I thought the offense had a good start. You know, we sustained those first two drives. It was a weird flow of the game early just because there were so few possessions, and the possessions were really long. But, you know, AJ, there's a lot of learning from that game. I think there's probably three or four throws where he's trying to do too much, and he forces the ball where he can. You know, if it's an RPO, there's nothing wrong with handing the ball off. You know, there's nothing wrong with throwing the ball away and punting sometimes. We have to not expose ourselves to ball security problems by trying to do too much. On the flip side, you know, the 4th and 4 where he extends and then finds Ray Davis on the sideline is indicative of a natural playmaker. I'd like to say that was coaching, but I don't know that I have any responsibility for that. So the balance is, you know, he's going to learn, and he's a very smart and capable player. You know, he's going to learn. Sometimes he's going to learn through mistakes. you know, we felt like there was a few of those throws we wanted back, none of which cost us on Saturday. But also, you know, we don't want to go over the top and limit his you know, that natural playmaking ability and that instinct he has, which is pretty good.
Talking to Vanderbilt football coach Clark Lee, their 38-28 win over Northern Illinois. And, you know, I know every coach would love to lead from the very beginning, the first possession, lead the whole way. But watching your team, you know, get down a little bit, not give up, still have that fight, battle back, and ultimately win the game, you know, how much do you learn from that of being able to play the full 60 and just keep fighting?
I think we, you know, what we hope for sometimes is that it's easy. What it'll never be is easy. And so you actually, it's more fulfilling to be a part of a game that we were a part of on Saturday, because that's when, you know, you have the opportunity to show a level of commitment to each other, where your character can come through, you know, that where you're challenged. And on the sideline, you can set your jaw and make a choice. You make a choice to step onto the field again and dictate the energy. And you know, we, you know, if you trace the line back to a year ago, you know, we've spectated too much over the course of a game, and we've played to the opponent's energy far too often. And we've allowed them to, you know, kind of exercise control over our spirit at times. I think what you're seeing with this team is the first steps of kind of breaking through that. And it's a lot of fun, man. And these guys are becoming, addicted is the wrong word, just energized by the adversity that's embedded in the competitive experience. And so we learn a lot. I think we grow through it. It's certainly, again, a game that I think that there's a lot that we can take from in the positive and build upon. And we're going to need to do that, because we're staring down, you know, 8 conference games that we're excited for, but each will present a different challenge to us. And the name of the game is, you know, let's keep this team evolving. Let's keep growing. Let's keep getting better. And let's find out what our ceiling is. And anyways, I don't know that Saturday was great for my health, although I felt like I held it together pretty well. Man, is it fulfilling to go to battle with a bunch of people that you love and respect, and to have the opportunity to link arms with them when things aren't going your way and step back into the fight. And again, we were able to do that and do it successfully.
We're talking to Clark Lee, Vanderbilt's head football coach, coming off a big win this past weekend. Coach, I know when you and the coaching staff choose to make a change within your starters, obviously AJ comes in for Wright. How do you still keep, because Wright does have some playmaking ability, but how do you still keep him involved throughout the week and during the game?
Well, I'll answer that two ways. You know, Mike is, and for anyone who's interacted with Mike Wright, know him to be just like a first-class positive individual that believes in himself and bets on himself. He's an energy giver in the building. For any of us that have been in that competitive situation, it's hard. Those are hard moments where, again, you have to make a choice, but the choice was made for Mike before the conversation was had, because that's just who he is. And so his engagement and his involvement in preparation and on the sideline as a mentor and an extra coach for AJ is there. I think what we need to explore as we move forward is where can he still have an impact on the game plan, and you know, to facilitate offense through him still. I think early on it's important that we allow AJ to get his feet underneath him, that you know, we don't want, I've always said this, that I think playing 2 quarterbacks is not a great strategy, but I think when you have a starter who establishes himself, and then you have a guy that can change the pace and can break some games open, you know, we would be crazy not to be thinking about ways to fold Mike into the offense and continue to allow him to have a great season, because he's having a great season.
Now, your defense, you guys have won games. You're 3-1, but the defense has been up and down. and they've given up some points, and your offense had to come back and score a lot of points to win games. What do you say to your defense as you continue to move on in season, especially now as you start to get into SEC play?
Well, I feel like when you look at the Hawaii game, mm-hmm. we kind of locked in all three phases and played complementary, and the defense was responsible for 14 of those 63 points. You know, we showed an ability to create havoc and to get the ball turned over and played to an identity. Now, we gave up an early score, but, you know, we rallied back from that. The Elon game to me, you know, was, you know, we gave up the explosive touchdown early. But that at that point, it was 21-0. I felt like in the second half of that game, we lost that complementary element. So there were a number of three and outs. We weren't able to sustain drives, and so we increased the exposure on that defense. And we wore out. You know, I mean, it was just we didn't have a great system for rotating players through, and I felt like it was, you know, there were factors outside of just the pure defensive play, because in that game there were still fourth down stops and a goal line stand and things that we can say, hey, there's real toughness here and things to build on. In the weight game, you know, I actually felt like early on we were playing well. That's a good offense. You know, we had the pick six and we gave up two other turnovers that led to touchdowns. So 21 points came off turnovers for the opponent. And, you know, we're not at the level of the program right now to introduce that level of to allow for that level of success for the opponent. We weren't pleased with how we finished the game defensively, but certainly thought there were flashes of strong play. I think on Saturday, you know, that first half was tough. You know, they were able to stay on schedule. We had them at a fourth down at midfield. We had a freshman tackle jump off sides. That was in the first drive. There just were opportunities for us to get to the stop, and we weren't able to. Now, I do believe that there are some real, issues structurally that we need to address. We're giving up too much space on the perimeter. We're going to need to do some things to help take away that space, both pre-snap and post-snap. But, I believe that once the defense settled in, and outside the two explosive touchdowns there, that that kind of blew the game open for Northern. Once we settled in and started making plays, you know, defensively we held up pretty well, and it goes to show that, you know, when that defense performs at a high level, you know, I thought the momentum started to swing as the defense started to make the stops, and hopefully offensively we're at a point now where, again, once we get the ball in our hand, we can sustain drive and finish with points. And now all of a sudden you feel like you've got three phases of a program that has a chance to be successful. When we don't have one of those three phases, or when two of the three phases are out of whack, you know, we're a little too exposed, and we're not yet able as a program to overcome that.
Well, Coach, best of luck this weekend heading to Tuscaloosa against Alabama, and we will talk to you again next week.
Hey, great to visit with you guys. Y'all take care, and talk to you later.
Awesome. Yep. Thank you. Coach Clark Lee, Vanderbilt football coach, joining us every Tuesday at 1:30 as they are 3-1 to start the season. Head to Alabama. Things heat up with the SEC schedule. Mm-hmm. Appreciate him taking the time to join us. Coming up next, we'll reset the Titans game, get you ready for Stillman and Company. Coming up at 2 o'clock, it's Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason, Willie Donick going to be back with us tomorrow.
Yes.
Look, there's still so much more to react to, mm-hmm. about the Titans' loss to the Bills. They're 0-2, and the Raiders are headed to town this weekend. Stillman and Company will continue the conversation coming up in about 12 minutes or so at 2 o'clock. We continue to take your texts, your calls at 615-737-1025, and let's go to the phone line. Brent wants to weigh in on the Titans. Brent, welcome in.
Yeah, hey, thanks, guys. Great show. Love it.
Thank you.
A couple of things. Rather sadly, I turned on ESPN this morning, the TV, and was watching Stephen A. and Saturday and the wide receiver, I can't remember his name right now. But anyway, they were talking about the Buffalo Bills and the Titans. The funny thing is, they never mentioned the Titans' name once. They didn't even say that Henry got 22 or 3 yards. All they did was talk about the Bills, how great Josh Allen is, blah, 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 blah. God, they're not even going to say how bad we were. They just don't want to mention the name Titans, number one. Number two, John Robinson, in my opinion, has wrecked this team because we don't have an offensive line, which you guys keep talking about. Well, half of them, or more than that, that we did have are playing for other teams, i.e., Roger Staubach, who's a starting guy for the Buffalo Bills, who's probably going to win a Super Bowl ring. And then, of course, A.J. Brown, you can't turn on the TV or listen to radio anywhere without hearing how he is really having a huge impact on Jalen Hurts. So we had the guys over the last few years, and Robinson has just ditched them. And so that's the issue. We just don't have the horses.
All right, appreciate
there you go. That's it.
Appreciate the call, Brent. Good stuff. Look, the only thing, and I know Willie's going to – we've decided after four games we're going to ask the A.J. question again. I mean, A.J. looked good last night. He balled out. He's looked good the first couple weeks, and Jalen looked really good for the Eagles last night. But what I'll say is because of the contract, I still think A.J. got overpaid. I don't disagree with the decision. I still stand by the decision to do what they did. But John Robinson has some things to answer for with not re-signing some guys that you probably could have re-signed. I mean, Roger Saffold is an interesting one that, you know, you can't pay him, you got to cut him. But and that I think was, you know, because of the Julio move. Mm-hmm. Like you made that move and you knew you were going to have to rob Peter to pay Paul at some point, and you know, he had to do that. But I think some of the roster moves that John Robinson has made, he certainly is going to have to answer for, and there are some things that are catching up to him. But that goes back to our conversation we basically have had all show long of they don't have the horses to do a lot of the things that in their mind they would want to do.
Yeah, well, I mean, the things that were done in the past, the moves that they made in the past are now, you know, rearing its ugly head. And, you know, this team from a roster standpoint isn't in a position, especially after Taylor goes down and we don't know what the prognosis would, but Dupree and then Hilliard was out last night. I mean, they got guys going down at key positions that they can't afford to go down. So now, you know, we went from a roster that, you know, really this roster isn't good enough to compete with the Buffaloes or, you know, name another upper echelon team in AFC. They're not situated to compete with those teams now. But then once your right left tackle goes down, you're running, you know, your change of pace running back goes down. Bud Dupree is hurt. Hopefully it's nothing serious. Harold Landry is out for the whole season. Well, when those things happen, man, now it puts you further behind the eight ball. So, somehow, some way, Coach Vrabel has to get, you know, rally the troops and get this team back to playing fundamental, mistake-free. Don't do anything that's going to beat us. Let us not beat ourselves, because that's what they did too last night. They beat themselves, turnovers, penalties, whatever you want to call it. They can't, again, they're not good enough to then do those things and win. Last year, Cincinnati, 9 sacks. They were good enough to overcome 9 sacks. Okay, sure. I don't know if Cincinnati is good enough to overcome 9 sacks again. Well, the Titans a year ago, they were good enough to overcome, you know, having to play 90 players.
Right.
This year, they're not good enough to do that.
Right.
You know,
because they've lost some key pieces.
Exactly. So they got to find it somehow, some way, and get this thing back on track.
Okay, so let me ask you this real quick. When you say not good enough to compete with the upper echelon teams in the AFC, all right, so let's just take Buffalo out of it. We know where Buffalo is. Mm-hmm. Miami,
No, they can't cover the guys, and they can no. Uh-uh.
Okay, New England. I'd say right now, yeah.
I say right now, they can compete with New England.
Jets, I'd say yeah.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh. Kind of. I think they're together.
I think they're sort of in the same boat.
Yep.
You know, so yeah.
Baltimore.
No, they're not.
Cleveland.
Yeah, they can compete with Cleveland. Well, now they can, I think.
Cincinnati.
Yeah, I mean, that's a hard one because
it's a tough one. Because I don't think we know who. I don't think we know what they are yet.
Exactly. So, yeah. But I would say if they had to play head up right now, no, they would. Cincinnati would beat them.
AFC West, we know what that is. Chiefs, Chargers.
No, they're not ready.
Broncos, Raiders.
No.
Say no to both?
Both, no.
Okay. And then AFC South, Jags.
Yeah. I think that it's going to be tough.
It's going to be tough.
It's going to be tough. A little
better.
Yeah.
Houston, I'd say yeah.
Yeah.
Indy, I'd say yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the saving grace.
And that's what we said at the beginning of the show.
Yep.
The saving grace is they are in the AFC South. That's their saving grace. If they're in the West, they're out of it. If they're, you know, in what is the North with Cleveland, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, then no. They're at the bottom of that too as well.
All right, real quick. Ed, I got about 45 seconds. Welcome in.
Hey, thank you very much. I'll tell you exactly what I got on my mind. Derrick Henry's being wasted because you ain't got a line, and until he gets some help at the quarterback position, I'm just afraid the Titans are going to be looking up from the bottom. And I just moved up here about three, four months ago. Love the Titans. So go Titans.
All right. Thanks, Ed. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Hey, short and to the point, and I like that. That was very, very good.
But he got a point. Listen, until y'all fix that offense, until the Titans can fix that offensive line, and I don't know if they can do it this year in season. I don't know. Maybe guys start playing better. That can happen. Or they simplify it like you said. Listen, we're going to condense this playbook, and these are the things we're going to do, and we're not going to deviate from them. They do that, and they seem to work out a few kinks here and there. Work out some problems, then maybe they can get this run game back on track. But the way it's looking now, this running game ain't going to even get started this year.
The Pro Football Hall of Fame has released their 129 modern era nominees for the 2023 class, which includes Eddie George, Chris Johnson in his first year of eligibility, Steve McNair, Lorenzo Neal, Gary Anderson, and Derek Mason. So once again,
go out there and vote, people.
get him in there. Hey, as
get
well.
Me in there. The numbers state it.
Hey, Andre Johnson is one, and so is Dave Craig. So there you go. They're on there too. Stick around. More Titans reaction coming up next. Stillman and Company, Jared and Caroline, ready to go and take your calls. That's all next. 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
We out.
Have a great day, guys. Enjoy the sunshine.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.